pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us for another day, another week on ESPN 1460 and 1550. Also the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number. You can email us anytime. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And Tiger Woods, ladies and gentlemen, has hit the fairway on the first playoff hole in the United States Open. He has hit the fairway, raises his hands above his head, has a huge smile, smacks Rocco Media on the back. They're both in the fairway, and the playoff is underway. We will talk U.S. Open, College World Series. We'll look back at what happened this weekend as far as all the All-Star activities. Eight-man All-Star reported to camp. We will be there tomorrow, the show live from Hastings and the Sertoma Eight-Man All-Star High School football camp. Lots of other things to talk about. Trevell Delagnev, not a good Sunday for him in Las Vegas. We have a state champion. And his name is Reinertsen, and that's not a surprise, but we'll talk about that as well. But, Daddy, right off the bat, U.S. Open is where we start. U.S. Open is where we start, and I think Colin Cowherd, for really the last 2 hours, has been so off base, it's mind-numbing. It is mind-numbing how off base he is. And I do see a lot of me in Cowherd, because you can't call Cowherd and get in 5 seconds of a conversation because he cuts you off. Because he doesn't want to hear anything you have to say, which is a knock against his program. And I, you know what, if I think I'm right, I'm right. And if he thinks he's right, and he doesn't want to hear anything about it. The problem, though, with him is he doesn't even want to get into a conversation about it being any debate. I'll listen, then tell you you're wrong. He won't even get that far. Yesterday was not. The first thing he said today was the greatest golf he'd seen, or the greatest day, the greatest watching, the greatest golf event in his adult life. What are you, 12? You're way, way off base. Way off base. I'll tell you in a moment why I think so.
Well, Saturday, you might make an argument the last few holes of Tiger might have been some of the greatest golf you saw. You know, that's fine. But the whole weekend can be summed up in Ronnie Lott cut off his finger to play in a playoff game. Jack Youngblood played on a broken leg. And the last 4 days, Tiger Woods doing it on this knee. What a courageous human being. And fighting through. You're not seeing Tiger Woods at his best. Oh, it's just arthroscopic knee surgery. Oh, well, you don't swing a club like Tiger Woods does. You do not understand the torque that goes on this knee. You do not understand the pressure that goes into that swing. It's different. And for him to do what he's doing and be at what, 80%? Is it safe to say Tiger's no better than 80%? And well, to do what he did is simply amazing. And people, if you haven't conceded that Tiger is the greatest of all time, well, you need to do it shortly after today. Because what you're seeing is simply amazing.
I'm not conceding that yet. Tiger is Tiger Jack. There is nobody else even in the ballpark. Tiger Jack, that's all there is. And unfortunately, we cannot measure him against, you know, Bobby Jones and the greats from so long ago. Who knows? Maybe for what they did then, they're better. You don't know. But what Tiger Woods has done, the point here is no one closed yesterday, people. Everybody was expecting somebody to make a run towards the front of the leaderboard because some of the hacks early went out and posted 65, best round of the day by Heath Slocum. Phil Mickelson shoots 68, and just a side note on that, 68. He finished at six over. Had he not went into the twilight zone on 13 Saturday and taken a quad. He's at 2 over, which makes it a whole different ball game coming down the stretch yesterday. He's in contention, at least. But you saw some low numbers being put up yesterday. Nobody made a run yesterday in the final seven groups or whatever it was. Anybody that could have had a shot, nobody did anything. And the few people that did do something on the back nine, like Robert Carlson, Dan the Duke Davis, who joined us on Friday, said he was a guy to keep. Well, he struggled. He went all the way up to, what, 7 over and got it back. DJ Tran struggled, got it back. I mean, a lot of the guys played okay on the back nine, but they had already shot themselves out of the tournament. The only one that didn't do that was Ernie Els. He did it in reverse, got a triple on the back when I think he was virtually out of it. But let's face it, Tiger Woods wins today, and Rocco Mediate knows if he would have birdied 18 yesterday, the tournament's over. He's in the tent hoping Tiger doesn't eagle it outright to beat him. He knows that he blew his chance. Rocco Mediate blew his chance down the stretch. He missed a 2-foot putt back on 13. Tiger, Lee, both put it in the ice plant on 13. I mean, it looked like me on TV for a moment. Oh, it's 290 out. Dude, what are you going to hit? All right, let's hit a 3-wooder. Driver off the deck. This will be fun. Lee Westwood should be in the playoff today if it was at 1 under. Tiger Woods should have won this tournament. Rocco Mediate could have won this tournament. Where was the great golf yesterday? I don't see any of that. The great golf was Tiger somehow making that birdie putt over a very bumpy 12 feet on 18. And although, as he said, he struck it well, it took a little luck that it just didn't bump offline.
Well, I think it's something, too, about the way Tiger, if it's any one of us, that ball not only lips out, but it shoots straight left down the hill and he's 20 foot and probably ends up third or fourth.
And you were exactly right. Saturday is where the mastery came in. And I think if you want to go with odds and fate and all that, well, a couple of those caught up to him yesterday. So he rolls in a 90-footer or a 70-footer on 13 for an eagle Saturday. Okay, one more shot that he should have had.
Well, 17.
Then he throws it in the iceberg or the ice plant yesterday, took a 6, at least one more shot than he should have had. So maybe, you know, to the bad side. Then you get to 18. You know, he played masterfully on Saturday, got the eagle, not so much, you know, inexplicably can't get a simple bunker shot out. That's where you have to see some problems. That's something that Tiger, the 100% Tiger, would never, ever, ever do. All he had to do was get in the fairway. It worked out for him.
But, Doug, you got Rocco sitting in the tent saying, okay, not only did I have to birdie 18 to win this thing and take, you know, without Tiger barring the eagle, which he knew he was still capable of. But then when you think he hits it to the left and he thinks, okay, you know, things have been worse for me, you know, because he slaps it down the middle. Oh, you concede birdie. You pray he doesn't beat you with the eagle then. But then, not only the first shot's bad, but then he whacks it over the fairway and he's in the deep, you know. And not that the U.S. Open rough was the U.S. Open rough that people have become accustomed to. You can still see the ball, but he was able to get a club on it. And then the shot, which he said was in between clubs, he hits it up to 12 feet. And at that point, Rocco's got to be sitting there going, okay, he's dodged 3 or 4 bullets coming down the stretch with Westwood and with Woods. And now he's got one more to dodge. And he runs that putt in. And the putt not only goes, the putt goes in the hole. If you're staring where Tiger hit the putt goes in the hole at what, 1 o'clock? If 1 o'clock, it goes in, 1 to 2 o'clock. It's not like it goes in the front of that hole. It somehow goes in the side of the jar.
And today it is stroke play. It's not match play. And that's one thing that can kind of keep your interest. It's kind of match play because you don't really ever expect more than a one-shot swing on a hole. But it is stroke play. So if you take a 9 or take a 7, you know, that could make all the difference in the world. So they are underway. We will keep you up to date throughout the show as Tiger Woods misses a birdie putt pretty bad on number one from about 20 feet away, left all the way. So he's going to have about a 2-footer for par on hole one. And we're going to be talking about that in the College World Series. But it was fun to watch. And Tiger Woods, you know, always has to beat the entire field. Who's Rocco Mediate? Where did he come from? You know, although
a qualifier,
I did mention his name on the show Friday. I said Rocco's the guy that can be there, except he always throws up a 79 on one of the four rounds. He didn't do that. That's why he's there. Phil Mickelson, 77. That's why he wasn't there. And for the folks that think this is, you mentioned the rough and the scoring and all that. Remember, folks, all the courses that they've been playing on as of late have been par 70s. Par 70s. And they make them par 70s by hacking down par 5s to make them 510-yard par 4s, which is a joke. But that's what they do. This is par 71, and still only one under is in the playoff. If it's a par 70 course, then these guys are at 3 over par compared to the 5 over par we've seen the last couple of years. So no great change. Note to the USGA, don't shave down Bethpage to a par 70.
Where are the old wives?
Don't shave it down to a par 70.
What? I think you're right. I think a lot of people like the finish Tiger had on Saturday. They want to see the Eagles. They want to see those low numbers start to come in. Now, you don't see that in the U.S. Open very often. That's why people will remember that Saturday. And I thought ESPN did a great job of the top 10 Tiger shots in majors of all time. That was pretty exciting. You remember about every one of those moments down the stretch. And obviously number one was the one at the Masters, which he hits, 12 foot left of the hole, and it trickles straight down towards the pond and towards the hole. And the last, it looks like it's going to sit up on the lip and then falls in.
16.
Falls in. That was obviously the no doubt about it, number one moment of all time.
1-888-455-ESPN. Your thoughts on yesterday's U.S. Open. What did you think? There's no way it was exciting because it was close. It wasn't exciting because a lot of great golf was played. It was exciting Saturday because Tiger came back from the dead, got back in the hunt, and somehow took the lead, and Rocco Mediate has bogeyed the first hole out of the fairway. And so Tiger Woods pars, and he's already one up through one. And here was the astounding stat Andy North threw out this morning. On the first four holes this week, Rocco Mediate is 5 under. Tiger Woods, because of all those doubles, he's 4 over. And now...
Well, he's 7 over on number one alone.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Double, double, double bogey.
And birdie. He birdied number one. Remember, he started on 10 on Friday.
Okay, correct.
Duh. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the Debt Popper inbox anytime. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about on the U.S. Open, the College World Series, we're going to get into that in a little bit as well. But as we look at this, it's going to be 4 hours of golf today. It's entertaining. I'm glad it's on. It's something else to watch on a Monday. We're not a whole lot's going to be going on, but you can watch it. And then, of course, at 1 o'clock, don't forget our continuing coverage here on ESPN Radio of the College World Series in an absolute surprise. Miami going to be taking on the folks from Florida State. Last week's Doug and Daddy poll question, who will win the College World Series? Pretty well divided up. Everybody got some votes. Miami, though, being number one, was the choice there at just over 27% of the votes, and they have to play just to stay alive today. Today we've got just a one-day poll question up for you. Who's got the better chance of winning, Rocco Mediate or the Lakers? Who's got the better chance of winning, Rocco today or the Lakers winning the NBA championship? Lakers, boy, did they get hammered on last night. They're winning, and Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson on ABC are just hammering them going, it's pointless to go back to Boston. They're winning, but they have no idea how. They're in the finals. They don't know what they're doing. They're not playing defense. There's no way. They're going to fly to Boston and just get crushed. We'll talk about the NBA. We'll talk about the College World Series. And, Dale Earnhardt Jr. broke a 76 race losing streak. Okay, there's your NASCAR second. Back after this.
After listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, many people are heard to mutter,
"Who are those guys?"
Those guys, we'll be right back.
Hey, summer's finally here, and if you want your summer memories to last longer than your tan, then you better get into Carney Yamaha now. Make memories for the whole family at the lake with a new Yamaha Wave Runner. All Yamaha VX Wave Runners offer a quiet and reliable 4-stroke 110 HP motor that makes pulling skiers and tubers a breeze. If you want to relax from a long work week and be the most popular person on your block, take home a new VX Yamaha Wave Runner from Carney Yamaha today. Making summer memories sweeter. Carney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, just south of I-80, Carney.
The right team can make a big difference when planning your personal financial strategy. At Platte Valley State Bank, they understand your needs, know what it takes, and have the resources to get it done. Whether you want online banking, a personal loan, or need investment options, they are ready to help and are prepared to build a financial relationship with you that will truly make a difference. If you need more from your banker, contact Kim Dugan and Bev Stutzman in Grand Island, or in Kearney, contact Mandy Peterson and Marissa Sinclair. The right team can make a big difference, and Platte Valley State Bank has the team that's right for you. Member FDIC.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
Hi, folks, this is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelke Heating and Air today.
The 2008 College World Series will be played right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM. This is Kevin Kugler inviting you to join me for all the action.
We'll see some scattered showers and storms possible early on yet today, followed by some partial sun. Highs reached around 73 degrees with east winds to 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight will stay partly to mostly cloudy, lows around 54 on the way to the mid-70s Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Where are you going for lunch today, Tony?
I think I'm going to Chicken Coop. Hopefully you're going to join me.
Can I go?
Absolutely.
That's where you can watch the U.S. Open playoff between Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate and College World Series, the number one team in the country, Miami of Florida, trying to come back against Florida State. Do it at the Chicken Coop, where they've got 42-inch flat screens, all new in, the best place to watch sports in town, not a bad seat in the house, and they've got great lunch specials for you every day, including today. Try the lunch special. You can order a pizza for you and the gang. Get some appetizers if there's going to be a whole host of you there. What do you recommend?
You know what? I'm going to go with a chicken tender hoagie and a little potato salad today.
What kind of appetizer are you going to get?
I'm going to get some balls of cheese, Doug.
Mmm.
And then if Rocco starts beating my man Tiger, I'm going to play Buck Hunter to get my aggression out.
Oh, boy. They've got great steaks. They've got fish. They've got pasta Alfredo. They've got, of course, ribs, chicken. That's why they're called the Chicken Coop. Wings, more than a dozen types of flavor, and they're all good. Great selection of burgers. You won't go hungry, folks. Get down there. Get there early. You know, it's Monday. Nobody's really going to miss you. You got a business meeting. You got an appointment. You're going to be out of the office for a while, watching golf and baseball and enjoying lunch at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Don't forget, they've got great food and drink specials every night.
Plus, it's free. All you got to do is pick the right numbers and play some Keno.
Ah, yeah, free lunch via Keno.
Okay, that doesn't have very
awesome. No, that's not good. That's not good. Not good at all. Hey, speaking of golf, congratulations to that little Reinertsen kid. That's right, Gibbons, Josh Reinertsen, got a little revenge on Richard Snyder. They were 1-2 in the Class C State Championship at Kearney Country Club. This, of course, a little different. They had a 36-hole all the way. Reinertsen got up early, had to really rally on Friday just to get into the finals in his semifinal round, but he did it. He was 5 up through 12, and then Schneider started to make his move. It was 3 up going into the final 18 of the afternoon, and it wasn't over until they halved the final hole with pars, and Josh Reinertsen of Given defeats Richard Schneider of Beamer 1 up to claim his first state junior golf association championship at Wild Horse in Gothenburg. Well, and if you think that's tough, it doesn't get any easier. Now, it's in the vehicle and off to Nebraska City, where he and the entire family and some of the best golfers in the state, 115 overall, entered in the 41st Nebraska Match Play Championship at Arbor Links, and it tees off tomorrow with qualifying and then the same format through the championship on Saturday. O'Neill's John Hurley, the A&M Aggie, who we've had on the program, is the defending champion of this. This is where he laid the 11-10 beatdown on in the finals last year. So he is the defending champion. He will be there along with 114 others. And, of course, as the defending champion, he will be the returning number one seed.
Arbor Links, is that the course that you played in about 112 degrees, no wind?
It was 102, 104, depending. I mean, seriously, it was in, boy, late July, early August. And at that time, you know, it was pay and play all day. Whew. We got out there. And again, if you know Arbor Links and if you're a golfer, then you know it. If you don't, well, whatever. Hadn't played it. One of the few courses I've ever played where they actually do give you a yardage book and blah, blah, blah. Well, we're up at number one, a severe dog leg. I'm not exactly sure how far to hit it to get to the dog leg. Probably hit the best shot of the day on the number one tee. Hit it too far and threw the dog leg and into the dirt. And yeah, that was the end of that. And it didn't get any better from there. I like a course where you have a little forgiveness, not target golf.
That's target golf.
So we played 18, shot a huge number, and then the group of us played a little two-man scramble for the next 18. That was much more relaxing. It is a very tough course.
Looks like on number two at the U.S. Open, both players have about 3 to 4 footers remaining to save par, so nobody's going to go up. Neither player hit the green. I'm on their second shot.
So that's what's going on, Daddy. College World Series. It took till last night to get anybody that was a favorite to win a ball game.
Doug, you can say what you want about Fresno State. They just keep pounding the baseball. Just 11 runs before the fourth inning. Amazing story because of being the four seed. But there have been two calls that have been absolutely just blown. How aren't these guys like triple A guys close to making the major? I mean, don't we have the best in the business in Omaha? Two blown calls. There was one last night at first. I can't believe. Well, the LSU manager didn't get thrown out because the guy knew he screwed it up.
And then the other one you're talking about was in the Stanford, Florida State game where the ball hits the chalk behind first base clearly, and he misses it and calls it foul, which at the time was huge because it was a tie ball game
right at
the top of the ninth. Didn't end up being huge because Stanford went on and scored 11 runs in the ninth inning, which if he had the overs probably helped. 11 runs in the ninth inning. But, yeah, they make mistakes. I don't know how you made the mistake on the one that hit the chalk. I mean, it was right there. I don't know how you screw that up.
But the call at first base wasn't even a boom. I mean, it's not like boom, boom. I mean, it's boom,
and Daddy,
boom.
And, Daddy, there was another call. Was it? Trying to think which game where I think it was Rice-Fresno to start yesterday. There's a play at the plate. They throw it in from the infield. They fire it home. And he's got him out at the plate, but the ball gets knocked loose. I believe that was the game yesterday. And then it rolls away, and another guy comes over to third. The umpire called the runner safe and had no clue that the ball had been dislodged. He called him safe. He came over it, and he was pointing at the plate saying his hand hit the plate. He was over. And then he saw that the ball got loose, and then he started watching what was going on. So you could say there was three blown calls. But in the end, none of it really affected what happened. So I guess
The Lord the Stanford deal did not come back to bite, because that a much bigger deal would have been made.
Well, I feel sorry for the young Florida State lad that hit the three-run home run because he was all set up for a party that night, and, you know, like an hour later, they're just getting hammered by 16-5 final.
Hour and a half?
Well, can you believe three underdogs and convincingly? Convincingly, yeah, they went to the ninth. Georgia had to make a nice comeback there, but you know what? Here's the deal. Don't kick the ball around, people. You cannot kick the ball around, and I mean ground balls in the infield. You cannot be kicking the ball around and expect to get through that in the College World Series. So
poor Delmonico at shortstop for Florida State.
Unbelievable.
But had to be the longest baseball game of his career by far.
But the story, again,
and I,
two
you
of
know
the
what?
Best teams in the country, one of them is going to be the first one to go home when Miami and Florida State play this afternoon right here on ESPN Radio, 12:45 pregame, 105 first pitch. Florida State, most wins in the country. Miami ranked number one in the country. That is just shocking. And right now, you've got a lot of the underdogs. Somebody's going to get there. North Carolina is looking very, very good.
Yeah, they are. And I think the umpires, you're right, for the most part, do a great, great job. I just think they're just such blatant, obvious missed calls. Let's, you know, send our friend Joe Wells down there. Let him have a chance. Boy, neither one of those calls have been missed with Joe out there. Period. I mean, there's several people, but don't we have the best in college baseball? Don't we have guys that were on, I mean, I would think on the verge of going to AAA or the major league level that could step in and do a fine, fine job?
Actually, I think these guys that are umping have absolutely nothing to do with major league baseball.
Why?
Nothing. So that, whatever. Yeah, they're good. They make mistakes. There you have it. Okay. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. If you want to weigh in on the College World Series, the U.S. Open, or whatever else is going on in the world of sports, we'd love to hear from you today. Don't forget to log on and vote on the Doug and Daddy poll question. Who has a better chance of winning, Rocco Mediate or the L.A. Lakers? That's up for just a couple of hours here while the show continues on, and then we'll put up a new poll question tomorrow.
Doug, you know, so much has been made, and we're talking about the umpires a little bit. Well, you've got Tim Donahue and what's been going on in the NBA also. You know, he's calling out Dick Bavetta, and David Stern coming out and saying, they had a bad night. You know what? Have a bad night in November with the Grizzlies playing the Jazz. You don't have a bad night in game five of an NBA playoff series. That's a bizarre argument. And there's another situation. Now everybody's believing Tim Donahue, who, how can you believe that? But the umpires and the officials are certainly in the deal. And, you know, you talk about the NBA, the steal last night by Kobe, what an awesome play. That's a foul, people. That's a foul.
Yes, it was.
I mean, he absolutely accosted Paul Pierce.
I don't think he touched the ball.
No, he didn't. He. Oh, my gosh.
Rocco Mediate 1 inch away from a hole-in-one on the third hole. I was actually going to say it looks like somebody's probably going to ace this and put it away. Wish I would have because that would have been really cool. But Rocco Mediate has a tap-in birdie, and Tiger is in the bunker. Third hole of the playoff, Mediate is one back at the U.S. Open. But anyway, your NBA, you know.
My NBA minute.
Focus.
Sorry, I lost focus.
Did I not tell you the Lakers would win? Did I not tell you this?
Gasol had heard all week long how he wasn't physical enough. So now he's decided just to shove everybody. Did you see him on a free throw? Did you see him trying to check him out? You can't just drop a shoulder and move Kevin Garnett out of bounds every time. And they didn't call it once. That's what he's had to listen to. Every day in the paper, every day when he turns his radio on, every day on TV, the Lakers just physically, they don't match up. Well, that doesn't mean you can just shove people, pal. It literally drops his shoulder and is moving people out of the way. And then they do call a foul on him. And then he does a Kobe. What are you talking about? It's like if you've got three sprained fingers because you got them caught in the guy's jersey, and then they raise their hands, I didn't touch him, and shrug their shoulders, they ought to send Andre Agassi out there with a tennis racket and hit him in the back of the head.
Wow.
That's what they ought to do. And you saw Kobe Bryant in game five that the Celtics won. Paul Pierce out at the top of the key.
Last night was game five.
Game four, excuse me. Paul Pierce out at the top of the key, and Kobe absolutely mauls him. And they call a foul after the ball gets knocked away. And Kobe's out there just in absolute disbelief. He just cannot believe they called a foul.
All right, Daddy, if you want to continue this, then take me to the last, 14 seconds of the game last night where Kobe Bryant was probably shoved down in the corner. But either he traveled or there was a foul. With like 8 seconds, the Celtics had a chance to get the rebound off of or the steal on the inbound. They had scored to cut it to three.
Right down the baseline you're talking. And
yeah, there's 10 seconds left. They hit the three in the corner, cut it to three. They get it in. The ball's knocked around. Kobe has it. Then he goes down in the corner. There either has to be a foul or a travel. They let the play continue. He kicks it out.
They gave it to the Lakers.
Well, no, he kicks it out, and then they foul it. 10 seconds left. You were in bed. That's fine. Whatever. That's what happened, either a foul or a walk. So, anyway, that's enough harping on officials. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, we remind you that we're running out of time to get signed up for the Sun Heat Men's Softball Tournament in Lincoln. The deadline is this Wednesday. You have a chance to compete for a $1,000 prize. The tournament is this Saturday, July 21st. So don't forget to sign your men's softball team up for the Sun Heat Tournament in Lincoln this Saturday. Compete for the $1,000 prize, an automatic berth in the state tournament. For more information, you can go to sunheat.com, S-U-N, sunheat.com for more information. Back with more after this.
Hi, I'm Matt Hanley, head wrestling coach of the Gyna Tiger High School in Maine, and you're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show, and they're wicked good.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. If you can't go to a sporting event, then there's nothing like watching it on the flat screen HD TV. May I recommend Vizio? Whereas other companies are charging you an arm and a leg, Vizio's bringing the technology to the masses. I've got one and love it. It's the fastest growing HD TV company in the world that stands firmly behind a 1-year in-home service guarantee. VizioTV.com, where vision meets value.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/small business.
It's the 13-hour tire sale, Monday, June 16th, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at all Graham Tire locations. All Goodyear, Cooper, Dunlap, Falcon, and Kelly Springfield tires will be on sale. At Graham Tire, you'll always get free shuttle service, flat repair, rotation, mounting, 30-day ride guarantee, air pressure, alignment check, plus road hazard, all free with each tire purchase. This is a one-day-only 13-hour sale, Monday, June 16th, at all Graham Tire locations. Don't miss it. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
It's time for the 16th annual Phelps Memorial Health Center Silver Run, Saturday, June 21st at 8 a.m. The Silver Run is certified and tax sanctioned. Runners and walkers can choose from 10K, 5K, or 2-mile courses. Register before June 20th, and the cost is only $15. Entries will still be taken race day. It'll be $20. All participants will receive a T-shirt and race packet. Medals will be awarded for the top finisher in each age division. Proceeds will go to the Phelps Community Pantry. For a registration form, go to phelpsmemorial.com.
I'm Drew Anderson with the Cincinnati Reds, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see some scattered showers and storms possible early on yet today, followed by some partial sun. Highs reached around 73 degrees with east winds to 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight will stay partly to mostly cloudy, lows around 54 on the way to the mid-70s Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're out in San Diego, California. Torrey Pines, they're three holes through the United States Open playoff. And Rocco Mediate birdies the par 3 third after nearly acing it. Makes about an 18-inch putt. Tiger Woods put it in the bunker, plugged, and ends up getting a bogey. Two-shot swing, immediate, even. Tiger, one over through three. I talked about this during the break here, Daddy. We were talking during our break. You give me even right now, I'm taking it. Even wins this. If you shoot 71 today, you're winning. And for the record, media did beat Tiger yesterday, shooting a 71 and Woods shooting a 73. But even par today, take it and run. Win. You're a winner.
I think you're right, Doug, and I think that how Rocco's handled the last 2 days, talking to the gallery, having some fun all the way around. Now, different personalities, you know, different people do it different ways. But in golf, we've never saw somebody at this level of a major that looked like they were having as much fun as Tiger. The focus is so narrow and so zeroed in on golf. Heck, he's talking to his caddy. He's joking with the other caddies he's playing with, the crowd. He's having some fun with them. They said, next to Tiger, he's almost got they had the biggest following all week. Of course, early in the week, Tiger playing with Phil and Adam Scott. That was the number one pairing. But they say the groups continue to follow Rocco as well. And he said, you can't believe it can be 50-50, people cheering for Tiger and people cheering for Rocco.
Well, it doesn't even sound like it's that much. It sounds like it's more Rocco. And remember, Tiger's from California, even though he doesn't live there anymore. Tiger, come on, people. People, they're rooting for Rocco. There's no doubt about it.
Uh-oh. Tiger does not like that.
Tiger and Rocco on hole four, and Rocco Media has a one-shot lead going into the fourth hole. Hey, don't forget that tomorrow it is Kearney 5 Points and Thirsty's Fan Appreciation Night as they battle Central City at Memorial Field. The juniors play at 5:30. The seniors play at 8. It is free admission. They'll be serving hamburgers and root beer floats, ice cream, Big Daddy Nachos, and they've got drawings for prizes every inning. And be sure that you stop by. We will have that senior game for you tomorrow night on our sister station, Power 99 FM. Pregame at 7:45, first pitch at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Kearney Thirsty Seniors taking on Central City. But it is Fan Appreciation Night, and head out to the ball game. Very comfortable with your gear from Misco Sports. On the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center, they've got Adidas and Nike shorts and T-shirts, caps and visors of your favorite team, whether it be collegiate, Major League Baseball, or local. And, of course, flip-flops. Keep the feet comfy. Daddy, a flip-flop fan, wears them during Christmas, usually from Ryder, Nike, Adidas. Misco's helping you feel comfortable attending all your kids' sporting events in the downtown Kearney Center.
Doug, we're going to talk a little College World Series and turn the program that direction for a little bit because Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald has joined us. Mitch, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, sure. Tony, how you doing?
Good, buddy. A lot going on in Omaha, obviously. Rosenblatt takes center stage. They've done a beautiful job. Grounds crews get the stadium in tip-top shape. The crowds keep showing up, and they've been treated to great baseball all weekend long.
You think so? I don't know. 17 runs and 16 runs, and I don't know how many have been scored every game, but it seems I'm waiting for a 3 to 2, 2.5 hour game myself. But yeah, it's been exciting baseball. Lots of runs on the board, lots of home runs, lots of ninth inning drama. So from that standpoint, yeah, the crowds have been entertained.
Well, Mitch, I just think because the underdog keeps winning, entertains a lot more people because I think Omaha kind of embraces that story.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, who'd have thought we'd have Florida State and Miami in this elimination game this morning, and then tomorrow in an elimination game it'll be LSU against Rice. I mean, arguably the four biggest names as far as baseball, royalty at this College World Series. You know, Stanford and North Carolina aren't too shabby. Those teams won in the first round, but the excitement I think that you're going to feel and the intensity that you're going to feel when Miami and Florida State, you know, two conference rivals and regional rivals. Lock up with the season on the line today when neither of these teams expected to go home after a quick stay in Omaha. I think it's going to be a great setting out there for a game that usually is not one of the more memorable ones in the College World Series, and that's the first elimination game of the event.
Mitch, we all like one underdog, but does it dilute it down when we've got three of them still in the winner's bracket here?
Well, I wouldn't call Stanford an underdog. I really wouldn't call Georgia an underdog. I mean, Stanford is a great program from the Pac-10 that's had a little bit of a downturn in its success over the past couple of years. But anytime Mark Marcus brings a club to Omaha, for whatever reason, they just seem to be ready to play and they know how to win at the College World Series. And I always kind of thought it was because his guys came year after year, and you certainly see that with North Carolina last night. It was so methodical, so systematic how they dispatched of LSU. I mean, it was like they could have slept, walked through that game and still won. I see that a little bit with Stanford, too, and it's unusual because none of these Stanford players have actually been to Omaha, but clearly that coaching staff, they bring a calming effect to the Stanford program, and the expectation when you're in that program is to make it to the College World Series, and you can see that when they're out there on the field. So I wouldn't say Stanford's an underdog. Georgia's the Southeastern Conference champion. They're not really an underdog. Fresno State definitely is an underdog, and if they win another game, they're going to fast become the darlings of this College World Series, kind of like UC Irvine was a year ago.
Yeah, they can become the darlings, but they got North Carolina in their path right now, and I've heard all those kids have girlfriends, and they want to punch Cinderella right in the face tomorrow.
I heard a story about one of the North Carolina players a couple years ago meeting a girl from Omaha at the CWS a couple years ago, and then came back last year and proposed to her. It seems like they're starting to kind of schedule their life events around the coming to Omaha every June, and it's not a bad idea if you're a Tar Heel. You know, they're going for a third straight year in the championship series, and there's no Oregon State to block their path to the national title this year. So after the first round of games, you know, they're my clear favorite with everybody else who's lost. I liked Miami. I liked Rice. Those two teams obviously have to win four games just to make it back to the final days. But North Carolina continued last night what they've done all through the postseason, and it's just win games without any spectacular antics to do it. They went out and they just kind of singled Louisiana State to death. 15 singles in that game. They got good pitching from Alex White. Everything that you've seen through the postseason, they're undefeated in the NCAA regionals and super regionals, never have really been challenged en route to this winner's bracket in Omaha. And I'd hope if they do go on to win the national title that at some point somebody steps up and gives them a good game.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joining us, Rosenblatt Stadium, the site of the College World Series. Hey, Mitch, we didn't play on Friday because of television this year. Could you tell any effects? It didn't look like maybe big effect on the crowd because you're going to play Saturday and Sunday anyway. Your thoughts on not playing on Friday?
That's a good question, and it's something I was thinking about Friday and Saturday. I think this event has become an ESPN thing, and the decisions are made with ESPN in mind. And, you know, that just signals that the College World Series is moving in the right direction and has already reached a spot that it wants to be nationally. It's going to bring in more revenue if it's geared for ESPN, and these decisions are made with the TV in mind and not the city of Omaha. So, the people who make the decisions probably don't care what I think about it when I say that something was missing with not having those Friday afternoon and Friday evening games. There's always been a feeling as a person who's grown up around this event that I always look forward to that first afternoon, you know, when people would get off work early and plan their weeks and look forward all week to that Friday when the College World Series would start, and you could get out there and there's a different feel in the ballpark on Friday afternoon, I think, than there is on any other opening day. And to have it on Saturday was nice, and I'm sure we'll get used to it after it happens for a few years, but I did miss that Friday afternoon and Friday night. There's a feeling that wasn't there on Saturday that you used to get on that first day. And you know, I know you don't feel it if you're in your living room in Tallahassee, Florida, but you do feel it in Omaha, Nebraska.
And Mitch, not to throw water on this great, great event, but a question you hear from time to time, is the College World Series too long? I mean, this thing could last from Saturday until a week from Wednesday, with virtually, if it's played out, only one day off. There's no other NCAA event that I know of with eight teams in it that lasts this long. Is it too long?
Well, I think you'll see that the attendance will be down in the championship series. When the championship series started a few years ago, I think it took Omaha a few years to get adjusted to it. People didn't come out quite the same way after that first game of the championship series. They were used to having one winner-take-all game. But again, it's the same thing. These decisions are being made not for the fans in Omaha. They're being made for TV and for people nationally. And in the big picture, that's a good thing for college baseball. The championship series is a good thing for college baseball because you don't want to decide the national championship on one game. It makes more sense to do it in a three-game series when you get to truly test the strength of your pitching staff. You know, anybody can win one game. It takes more to win a series. So In addition to that, yeah, you could play this thing quicker. You know, baseball is a game that you can play every day. Of course, they do it in the major leagues. They do it in the conference tournaments. But what I think it does is you see how long these games are. And if they were playing three or four games a day, you know, we'd be here until 2 in the morning, and then we'd be complaining about that. So I think it's better to only play two games a day. And that naturally is going to build in off days for teams. And when you do that, it allows teams to kind of rest their pitching staffs. And then you don't see so many 20 to 19 games. I mean, we've had a 17 to 5 game and a 16 to whatever game. But those are kind of few and far between in the recent history of the College World Series. And the fewer of those games that you have, the more rested your pitching staff is, I think the better it is for the sport.
Omaha World Herald's Mitch Sherman joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, you got a chance to talk to George Horton, an interesting article about him taking over a baseball program that hadn't been restarted for a while in the Oregon Ducks. What was his demeanor being here and not being on the field?
Yeah, he was very relaxed. A funny story about George. I ran into him in the press box. He had come up to say hello to a few people and you know, wanted to interview him. He said, sure, that's fine. Let's go down and sit in my seats. And on the way down to the seats, we were having a discussion about his experience so far in Omaha. And he said, yeah, it's a lot different. You saw some of the quotes in the paper. It doesn't feel the same. The intensity's not there, but I kind of like it. You know, he said he had to come into town, didn't have a limo waiting for him, didn't have a police escort to the game. He had to park in somebody's backyard. He said, you know, I'm really learning what it's like to live like the rest of the people. And then we got down to his seats, and he was in the second row of box seats right behind the Georgia dugout. And I said, George, you know, you're not quite living like everyone else. Why don't you go try sitting out in the bleachers and see what that's like? But, he's one of the great characters or one of the great people around the College World Series. He's been here so many times, double-digit number of times with Cal State Fullerton as a player, assistant coach, and head coach. Assistant under Augie Garrido, you know, he carried on that tradition that Augie built, and, you know, I think he's handed it off to Dave Serrano. And this is really something that, you know, not many coaches are able to do is to have the success at his level and then be able to start a program from scratch. And not just start a program from scratch like they've done at some smaller schools in California in recent years, but to do it at a place like Oregon where you've got, you know, the backing of Nike. The Pac-10 support, you have a built-in, they're going to play a great schedule just because of their conference right away. Now, I'm sure they're going to go through some growing pains, but with Horton's reputation, they're going to be able to recruit, and with the type of facilities they're going to build, it's not going to be a long time before that program is very competitive. And I think, you know, before George Horton retires, he'll be back competing for national championships with Oregon at the College World Series.
Last question for Mitch Sherman, Tiger Woods or Rocco Mediate?
Yeah, I've got it on my TV here before I head down to Rosenblatt. A big surprise, I'm going to say Tiger.
Hey, Mitch, enjoy the College World Series, and always appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again before it's all done.
All right, take care, guys.
Take care. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald as he continues his coverage of the College World Series. Both Rocco and Tiger par the par for fourth, so Mediate is even. Tiger is one over heading to the fifth. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Hey, summer's finally here, and if you want your summer memories to last longer than your tan, then you better get into Carney Yamaha now. Make memories for the whole family at the lake with the new Yamaha Wave Runner. All Yamaha VX Wave Runners offer a quiet and reliable 4-stroke 110 HP motor that makes pulling skiers and tubers a breeze. If you want to relax from a long work week and be the most popular person on your block, take home a new VX Yamaha Wave Runner from Carney Yamaha today. Making summer memories sweeter. Carney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, just south of I-80, Carney.
People are talking about the Doug and Daddy blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Daddy blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo.
Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Daddy blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think.
Howard here to talk about a situation I think you'll recognize. Day of the game, seven buddies, barbecue at your house, looking for a ride to the tailgate party. Thanks to the new Honda Pilot, you'll be prepared for almost anything. 8 passenger seating and increased storage capacity, you pack up the crew and go. With an available Navi system, you get to the game. And with an available top shelf DVD rear entertainment system, you're the star of the day. The Honda Pilot, like a 5-tool baseball player, with the capability to play almost every position.
Go to pilot.honda.com for more information.
As a professional contractor, some things are a given. You need the right products, you need the right prices, and you need the Home Depot, where you're guaranteed the best price every day on the stuff you need every day. And if you happen to find a lower price, we'll beat it by 10%. Because making it easier to grow your business is our business at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Come in now and get R19 15-inch craft face fiberglass roll insulation for the new low price of $19.78, just 40 cents per square foot. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Bill Thomas with the Phoenix Coyotes. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see some scattered showers and storms possible early on yet today, followed by some partial sun. Highs reached around 73 degrees with east winds to 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight will stay partly to mostly cloudy, lows around 54 on the way to the mid-70s Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 61.
Doug and Daddy's show. Don't forget tomorrow, live from Central Community College in Hastings, where they're holding the Sertoma 8-Man All-Star Football Camp. We'll be there live talking with the coaches and a couple of the players and giving you all the details for what's going on. It was a busy Saturday in Hastings. The North 1-1, the South 1-1 of the Shrine Soccer Classic. On the girls' side, the North wins it by a score of 3-0, and the South wins the boys 8-0. In wrestling, the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coach Association All-Star Duel. It was the East over the West, 17-12. Among some of the kids from the West that did well, David Gonzalez of Hastings picked up a 9-8 victory over Brandon Miklas of Millard South. Also, Austin Carmichael of Columbus picked up a win for the West squad. Tom Brown of Sergeant Burwell and Matt Duffy of Kennesaw Shelton both picked up wins. Ethan Rundle of Hastings at 184 pounds had to wrestle twice. That's one thing about this All-Star Duel that kind of hurts the credibility. Kids either commit or don't commit. You've got to make sure you have a full roster. You can't have kids. I mean, they do a great job and you wrestle twice in a day and all that. But, you know, they need to be able to find two kids at every weight to show up. And I know things happen, but it just hurts. You know, going in, you're going to have to wrestle twice. So that's what happened there. Hadley Cooksley of Northwest had the fastest pin over Tanner Timperley of Stanton in a minute 28. And then, of course, the Sertoma 8-Man All-Star Game going on this weekend. We talked a little Legion baseball over the weekend. Hastings 5 points, went 3-1 in the Columbus tournament. Hastings Johnson Imperial Homes swept Lincoln High yesterday. Kearney Runza went 3-1 in North Platte. Grand Island Home Federal went unbeaten in North Platte. Thirsty Seniors, they suffered their first loss of the year out at Sydney. They went 1-2. They beat Hershey, but then lost to Shadron 5-4, Gretna 3-1, so no blowouts. They're still playing pretty good baseball. 5 points, won a pair of games this weekend. Kearney Post 52 hosted a tournament at Memorial Field. They went 3-1 in their own tournament. Wells Fargo went 2-2 in that tournament this weekend. Tervell the Lognev Daddy, didn't happen for the big fella. He went 1-2 at the Olympic trials yesterday. He was seated second in the 7-man bracket. He began with a win over Zach Ray from Lehigh. But then in the semifinals, Scott Steele of Navy upset Delognev. And Steele had already upset Tully Thompson in round one. And Delognev then lost to Pat Cummins, the eventual third-place finisher, in a consolation match. And your man, Ohio State's Tommy Rollins, he didn't win. The guy that sat along the whole day lost. Steve Mako, I hope I pronounced that right, is your heavyweight
representative.
He's your representative that's going. Delognev will wrestle again in the World University Championships in Greece, second week of July. I wonder if Tervell needs an entourage, because I've always wanted to go to Greece. That would be cool.
Doug, I thought yesterday afternoon one of the great days of TV watching. You had the U.S. Open, NBA Finals, College World Series all going on.
And you know what else we had yesterday?
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter
Grand
jelly
Slams.
David DeJesus, five RBIs. And the Royals played pretty good this weekend. Off day and more going on.
Well, Arizona's in first place.
Well, they took two or three from Florida when they're in first place. 8-3 yesterday, Kansas City Royals.
After the College World Series game last night, there was an interesting show. It's called Inning by Inning, A Perspective of a Coach. I believe that. It was about Augie Garrido. and the Texas baseball program. And if they don't quit putting stuff like that on TV, I'm going to have to quit hating the Longhorns, because it's really a great deal. And if you get a chance to see it, check that out, because it goes through and it shows the relationships that are developed at that program. And it's one of those situations where you really start to like the guy and even smile about the program every now and then. Four different decades in which he's won national titles in.
This just in, defending national champion Kansas will be without Mario Chalmers next season. He's decided to keep his name in the NBA draft. Mario Chalmers from Kansas is leaving. Rocco Mediate has a one-shot lead through four holes of the U.S. Open playoff, but is in trouble on hole number five, out of a bunker, off the cart path, into the stuff. He is in trouble. That currently on ESPN. We want to thank Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald for joining us today. Tomorrow, live from the 8-man football camp in Hastings.
Hey, we'll see you then. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.